In Genesis 40 and 41, Joseph goes from a forgotten prisoner to Pharaoh's trusted prime minister in one extraordinary day. His story offers powerful lessons about trusting God when life seems unfair, pointing others to Him even in hardship, and waiting for His perfect timing. If you've ever wondered if God is really at work in your difficult season, Joseph's journey will encourage you to hold fast.
I've heard it said that 10% of life is what happens to you. 90% of life is how you respond. Well, Genesis chapter 40 is going to show us three responses, three choices that Joseph will make that we need to make as well. Chapter 40 now takes us into prison, where we find Joseph being introduced to Pharaoh's cupbearer and chief baker. These are two men who've just become prisoners themselves. Now, we're not told what their offenses were, although one of them more than likely was involved in a plot to poison Pharaoh. They've both been thrown into prison while an investigation takes place. Verse 4 says, "The captain of the guard appointed Joseph to be with them, and he attended them." Now, by the way, captain of the guard is a title used earlier for Potiphar, so it may very well be Potiphar who's referred to here. If that's true, it indicates he knew all along Joseph was truly innocent. Now, verse 4 tells us that he was appointed, that is, Joseph was, to take care of these high-ranking members of Pharaoh's court. And Joseph cares for them despite his own hardships. In fact, his first response highlights an important principle for us. Here it is. Choosing to care about people, even when you feel uncared for, is a gracious response to others. Now, I want you to notice it says here in verse 4 that Joseph specifically and personally attended to them. The Hebrew verb means he's caring for them. Now, Joseph doesn't just care about them. He's literally caring for them. You know, it's easy to say that you care about somebody while you sit there in your recliner, but to care for somebody means you got to get out of that easy chair and go do something for them. Now, it isn't long before the baker and the cupbearer have dreams that bother them. And when Joseph asks them why they're discouraged, they respond here in verse 8, "We have had dreams, and there is no one to interpret them." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me." Now, again, Joseph's response reveals a second principle that's very relevant to us. Choosing to point others to God, even when your own path is difficult, is a great statement of faith. I mean, here these men are, surrounded by the false gods of Egypt, and Joseph is introducing them to Elohim, his God, the great sovereign God who is able to interpret the riddles of life. Interpretation belongs to him. What a great statement of faith by Joseph, especially when, by the way, don't miss this, none of his dreams seem to be coming true. You remember those dreams? Well, now for the rest of chapter 40 here, Joseph interprets the dreams of the cupbearer and the baker. The cupbearer, well, he's going to get his job back in 3 days. The baker isn't going back to work. In fact, he isn't going to be needing any retirement either because, well, he's going to be executed. Evidently, the baker had been the one involved in trying to poison Pharaoh. 3 days later, that's exactly what happens. He's executed. Now, before the cupbearer goes back to work, I want you to listen to this pitiful request from Joseph here in verse 14. "Please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh, and so get me out of this place. For I was indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into prison." Now, there's nothing wrong with Joseph asking for a fair hearing. But here in verse 23, we're told rather bluntly, the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Oh, man. Joseph has every reason to grow bitter and angry from this point on. 2 years, however, go by between the end of chapter 40 and the beginning of chapter 41. But instead of growing resentful, Joseph makes another important choice. Here it is, to trust God's timing for him. Let me put it this way. We can state it as a principle. Choosing to trust God's timing, even when you're uncertain about the future, is a great way to deepen your walk with God. Now, how do we know Joseph's faith actually deepened over these following 2 years? Well, because later, over here in chapter 45, he testifies that he knew that God was at work all along. So he waits for 2 long years, and then unexpectedly, God's plans for him turn a corner. And you can almost see sunlight breaking into the prison cell of Joseph's life. Genesis 41 opens by telling us here in verse 1, after 2 whole years, Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing by the Nile, and behold, there came up out of the Nile 7 cows, attractive and plump, and they fed in the reed grass. And behold, 7 other cows, ugly and thin, came up after them out of the Nile and stood by the other cows on the bank there of the Nile River. And the ugly, thin cows ate up the 7 attractive, plump cows, and Pharaoh awoke. Now, Pharaoh's dream about the cows is followed immediately by another dream of 7 good ears of grain that are swallowed up by 7 thin ears of grain. Now, the king immediately calls for his wise men, but they just kind of stand around in their pajamas, absolutely no help at all. But then here in verse 9, the cupbearer remembers that young dream interpreter back there in prison, and within a matter of minutes, officials are getting Joseph out of his prison clothes. Verse 14 tells us they're getting him cleaned up and shaved. He's probably given a haircut too. And they're bringing him into the courtroom of Pharaoh. Now, the conversation between Pharaoh and Joseph begins in verses 15 and 16. Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it." And Joseph answered Pharaoh, "Oh, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer." Joseph then interprets these prophetic dreams as meaning, well, there's going to be 7 years of bumper crops in Egypt, and they're going to be followed up by 7 years of famine. And Joseph here makes it very clear that God is behind this interpretation. In verse 25, he says, "God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do." In verse 28, he says, "God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do." And again, in verse 32, Joseph says, "The thing is fixed by God, and God will shortly bring it about." In other words, Pharaoh, you're not in charge of Egypt. You're not in control of life and success. Your gods aren't in control of bumper crops. My God is. And what's more, Joseph tells Pharaoh, "Well, you better put somebody in charge of managing these bumper crops so that food is stored properly and then available during the 7 years of famine." Pharaoh's evidently bright enough to know that somebody ought to be Joseph. And he says to Joseph here in verse 39, "Well, since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house." Now imagine, a few hours earlier, Joseph's sitting in prison, and now he's the prime minister. I mean, he's God's chosen leader, ultimately, to save the nation, not just of Egypt, but of Israel, from starvation. He's the instrument that will keep God's covenant plan moving forward, so that one day, through the nation Israel, who isn't going to starve to death, the Messiah will be introduced to the world. So Joseph, he's going to go from Potiphar's house to the prison house to Pharaoh's house. God was preparing Joseph all along the way. Now, I don't know what God is doing in your life right now, but I do know that there are three godly choices you and I need to make along the way. First, to care about people even when you feel uncared for. That's a gracious response. Number two, to point others to God even when your own path is difficult. That's a great statement of faith. And number three, to trust God's timing even when you're uncertain about your future. Well, that's a good way to deepen your walk with God. Well, until next time, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Well, Joseph's journey from prisoner to prime minister is certainly not the standard. But we here at Wisdom International have the tremendous privilege of being able to minister to prison inmates all across the United States. In fact, Stephen, we have reached so far 30,000 inmates who have been watching the Wisdom Journey on tablets in their prison. And I know that you have a letter from one of those inmates.
Yeah, it's exciting to see this expanding. Tyrell writes, "I've been viewing your videos on a tablet here in prison. I've gotten a better understanding of the book of Genesis and also the New Testament from Jesus' birth till his sacrifice on the cross for my sins. I've been a Christian, but have been wavering in my faith throughout my life. But through your Bible study videos, my knowledge, faith, and hunger to know more and be closer to Jesus Christ have increased substantially. I'm currently writing this from a county jail in Indiana, and I want to thank you, and I hope more videos will come soon." Thank you, Tyrell.
Well, they will. We are continuing to add content to that platform. Right now, we are in 1,100 jails and prisons across the United States, in a growing number. We're adding new facilities every month. And like I said, over 30,000 inmates are discovering God's word as they travel along this wisdom journey on those prison tablets. We're so thankful for our donors who make ministry like this possible.
Right.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today. Stephen will be back next time to continue taking you through God's word on this wisdom journey.